Let me invite you to take your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 14 and find verse 27. Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 27. Here's what this verse says. It's red letters, so this is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Last week, as we've been studying through the upper room discourse of the Lord Jesus with his apostles, we finished last week's study with this verse on peace. And I thought, as I reflected upon last week and what to do for today, that it might be good, especially in the days in which we live, to reflect a little bit this morning on peace, what the Bible has to say about peace. We long for peace, don't we? We pray for peace. The psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse 6, that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for peace. We hope for peace. And yet, in our day and age, we find very little peace in our world. From the time of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, taken in by the subtle tactics of the devil himself, and through disobedience to the word of God, our old world has been constantly in a state of upheaval, war, battles, fear, turmoil, evil, and so on, hasn't it? I mean, after Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden, one of the first things that happened was Cain killed his brother Abel, first murder in all of God's creation. And it hasn't improved at all since those days. I was born in 1952, so just after the end of the Second World War. In fact, I was born during the Korean War, which was from 1950 to 1953. I have no knowledge of those wars. I was too small, a baby back in those days. I have no knowledge of those wars. But I do acknowledge that for most of the 1900s and a lot of our 2000s now, there wasn't much peace in the world. Although the wars were on the other side of the ocean, it still made an impact on people here at home. That's why we have Remembrance Day, to remember those who had served in those great wars. And then there was the war in Vietnam in the early 60s and 70s, although the history of the war in Vietnam goes way, way back. But in our days, 60s and the 70s was the war in Vietnam was a big thing, right? American soldiers dying in the jungles of Vietnam. Many people were killed in the China Cultural Wars all down through the centuries. The 70s were particularly bad. If you recall the time in Tiananmen Square, when hundreds and hundreds of people lost their lives through being killed by Red Guards. And from those days, constant war and battles between nations and people have continued on. Lives have been lost, hatreds exacerbated and increased. And while we may not hear of every single battle and acts of war in our news in this part of the world, we do get a touch of it, don't we, with the recent protests of Israel and Hamas, even here in our own country. London had a big protest of support for Palestinians and so on. And it just creates even more bad feelings between people. In our modern times, we have witnessed Russia invade Ukraine and the horrors perpetuated there. and most recently Hamas invading Israel, killing and murdering and taking hostages of Israelis, hundreds of Israeli citizens. Some have died, having been captured. Some have been rescued by Israel. Israel declared war against Hamas, has sought to annihilate this terrorist movement in Gaza, and many more lives have been lost as a result of it all. And then we hear of Hezbollah up in the north of Israel throwing rockets down into the north part. Syria is also the other side of the Golan Heights are also trying to get their foot in the door as well. Interesting that Iran has not really involved itself completely in any of these battles. They've been behind it all with the terrorists. And none, it's interesting, none of the Arab countries around Gaza are willing to take refugees from Gaza. Egypt won't, Jordan won't, Saudi Arabia won't take any. And in fact, I read a headline that said a lot of the refugees from Gaza don't want to go to other Arab countries. They want to come to places like Canada. More freedom here, I suppose, to exercise their religious rights. We know that Christians around the world are being persecuted, imprisoned, and killed, churches burned down, pastors arrested or beaten to death. Our world, it seems, has no peace at all today. And while in London here we live relatively peaceful, but all around us, and perhaps unknown to us, even in our own city, there's not much peace in the world. Even though war has not shown up on our shores yet, far-off wars still do make an impact upon our lives here in Canada, and I'm sure that we are all aware of that. What is it ever going to be like for future generations should the Lord tarry to rapture the church? What will this world be like? We know from the prophetic scriptures that it will get a whole lot worse during the tribulation period. Billions of lives will be lost globally during the tribulation. And not just between nations is there turmoil and war, but also between people. Whether religious, social, various ideologies, even lusts, much enmity abounds in our world, even between people. Scripture says that in the last days, the love of many is going to grow cold, and family members are going to give up one another to the ruling parties and governors in those days. Such is the consequence of sin and iniquity and evil. I think if we got rid of all of those things, we might have some peace around the world, don't you? Jesus came. He came in Luke 2:11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, right? And he has come to bring goodwill and peace to men. And yet, this part of God's plan for sending his Son into this world to be our Savior did not include a worldwide global peace at that point in time. One day it will come, but it hasn't yet. And so we live in the midst of turmoil and enmity. We long for peace, but it seems elusive and sometimes just impossible to even try and achieve. But the Lord Jesus, he knows his world. He created it. He knows our hearts. He knows our lives. He knows the minds of everyone. He gives us tremendous hope in this simple statement in verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." simple statement, and yet there is a profound truth and hope that comes along with it. Just notice a couple of things from this one verse. Number one, it is his peace that he gives, right? It is my peace that I give unto you, he says. My peace. The term peace is the Greek word irene. It occurs 92 times. Irene occurs 92 times in the New Testament. The English word peace occurs 429 times in our whole Bible. Most often the word peace is used in the sense of keeping one's peace or holding one's peace, right? And by keeping or holding one's peace, what is meant is to be quiet. Don't say anything. Hold your peace, right? Keep quiet. Don't say a word. In Proverbs 17, verse 28, it says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." So probably most of the cases of the word peace in the Bible is that kind of reference, that context. Holding your peace, shutting your lips, being quiet, don't say anything. But then the word peace is also used when speaking of peace between nations or people who have been at war. And there have been occasions, even in Scripture, when enemies have made peace with one another. If you're here Wednesday, we're reading through the book of Judges. And every time Israel sinned, God brought a foreign nation in to rule over them, and they were oftentimes very mean and so on, and the people of Israel would cry to the Lord for help, and God would send a judge, and the judge would bring the foreign nations, would kick them out or beat them in some manner, and then we're told that the land had rest for another 40 years or in some cases, and so there was peace at that time. Then there is the use of peace to define a soul that is at rest. A soul that is at rest. No inner turmoil, just harmony, tranquility of soul and mind. Inner peace, we would say. In Psalm 4, verse 8, the psalmist says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." In the context of the psalm, there is war, there is trouble, there are enemies. But here the psalmist says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord," all capital letters, Jehovah, "only makest me to dwell in safety." And so there are those occasions in the scripture where we have that personal peace, the inner tranquility that is talked about. But of most interest to us this morning is the use of the word peace in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. And this is what I think Jesus had in mind in verse 27 here. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Not as the world gives, but he's going to give his peace, so that our hearts would not be troubled nor be afraid. So this kind of peace that Jesus gives, if you'll notice, first of all, it's his peace, but secondly, notice Jesus gives his peace in an extraordinary way. He says, "Not as the world giveth, give I my peace to you." It's different. It's extraordinary. He doesn't give his peace as the world gives peace. Sometimes we have heard in times past where countries have been battling each other, and all of a sudden they declare a peace treaty on paper, but in their fields they're still firing bullets at each other and rockets and so on. So much for peace. That's what happens in the world. Last week, I shared with you a couple of comments from Albert Barnes in his commentary on this particular verse and this phrase, "not as the world giveth." We read through it rather quickly last week, so I thought I would repeat it again for you this morning and maybe just catch a little bit more of it. What is meant by "not as the world giveth"? Number one, it means not as the objects which men commonly pursue. Not as the world gives. Not as the objects which men commonly pursue, such as pleasure, fame, wealth. The world leaves care, anxiety, remorse behind. That's how they give and what they give. The world does not meet the desires of the immortal mind, and they are incapable of affording that peace which the soul needs. It's only on paper. It's only superficial, the kind of peace, if any, that the world would give. So Jesus says, "I don't give my peace to you as the world gives." Secondly, Barnes said, "not as the men of the world give. They salute you with empty and flattering words, but their professed friendship is often reined and has no sincerity. You cannot be sure that they are sincere," but Jesus is absolutely sincere, isn't he? When he says, "my peace I give unto you," you know you can count on that. You can trust. That's what he will do. And then Barnes says, thirdly, "not as the world giveth," he says, "not as systems of philosophy and false religion give. They profess to give peace, but it is not real. It does not still the voice of conscience. It does not take away sin. It does not reconcile the soul to God." Not as the world gives, Jesus says, "I give you my peace." And then contrast the way the world gives is Jesus, when he says, "my peace is such as meets all the wants of the soul. It silences the alarms of conscience, is fixed and sure amid all external changes, and will abide in the hour of death and forever." How desirable in a world of anxiety and care to possess this peace. And how should all who have it not seek that which the world can neither give nor take away? "My peace I give unto you," not as the world gives, but he gives us his peace in an extraordinary way. Now, Jesus also says this same thing in a few chapters ahead. We looked at this, I think, briefly last time as well. In John 16 and verse 33, this is the last statement before chapter 17, which is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. So 33 really concludes, chapter 16, verse 33, really concludes the upper room discourse at this point. Jesus says there, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have" what? "Peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. Notice a couple of things out of this verse this morning. Number one, it is as we are in Christ that we have peace, true peace, right? "These things that I have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." True peace comes only from being in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. It is to be born again. It is to be baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. We are in Him, in the Beloved, as Paul says in Ephesians. It is to trust and believe in Jesus Christ as one Savior and Lord. It is to acknowledge the truth of the gospel of Christ, believe it, and make it part of one's whole life. In Christ, what a great place to be. And to be in Christ is the only place where we will really have enduring and lasting and true peace that Jesus gives. It comes by being in Him. Now, in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, you probably have these verses memorized. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," that is in the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Right? And when we put our faith in Christ, we are in Him and we have His peace. Let me give you a couple other verses from Romans. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Right? We are justified by faith, and the result is we have peace with God. A little bit later in that chapter 5, he talks about the fact that as natural individuals, before we were saved, we were enemies of God. But now Christ has died for us on the cross and made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, and we have peace with Him. In Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation which to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation. That's ongoing. That's forever. That's eternal. There is no condemnation to any one of us who have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we are in Christ, we have His peace. We have His peace. Isaiah helps us to know how to experience this kind of peace in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah wrote, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." How can you be kept in perfect peace? You keep your mind on the Lord. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Now we know that Jesus is none other than Jehovah come in the flesh. That's the incarnation. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, is the coming of the Lord Jesus as the Word which was God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. His name was Emmanuel, God with us, right? And so we know that Jesus is none other than Jehovah come in the flesh. And if our mind is stayed on Christ, He will keep us in perfect peace. Peace with God, peace with others around us. And may I submit to you that to keep your mind stayed on the Lord Jesus is to trust in Him, as the text says, forever. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Is your mind stayed on the Lord Jesus? What comes into your mind when you think about God? We have a statement on the door as you come in. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And we need to have that truth about who God is right there, stuck in our minds. kept in our minds. Our minds stayed on him. If you do not have peace in your heart today, beloved, you need to check your mind. Where are you focused? What are you thinking about? What do you play out in your mind? We must keep our minds stayed. And here, stayed is the Hebrew word samak. It means to lean, to rest, to sustain, to revive, to brace oneself. And it's a continual kind of action. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. And when we do, we will have Christ's peace fill our soul, our heart, our spirit, and our mind, and we will be able to rest in him, completely at peace. And then here in verse 33, Jesus also says, in the world, you will have tribulation. The word tribulation is the Greek word thlipsis. Thlipsis. It means pressure, affliction, anguish, trouble, oppression, distress. In the world, you will have tribulation. Is he right? Yeah, he is. All kinds of trouble in the world. It affects us all in various ways, but I think we would have to acknowledge that there is some pressure, some distress that comes to us in the world. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. How can you be of good cheer when you're under stress and tribulation from the world? Well, his answer is, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So be of good cheer. Be encouraged. The word means be courageous, believer, because Jesus has overcome the world. How has he done that? How has Christ overcome the world? Well, he overcame the world by virtue of his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead on the third day. He ascended back into heaven about 2,000 years ago now with the promise to return. And when he returns at his second coming, not the rapture, the rapture will occur 7 years before his actual second coming to this earth, he will bring peace to this old sinful world. We're told that when he returns in righteousness, he will rule the world with a rod of iron. But in that rod of iron, there will be peace finally in this world. It's coming up to Christmas, and there are a few Old Testament texts that we like to read around that time. One of them is Isaiah chapter 9. If you want to turn to Isaiah 9, Jesus says, in me ye have peace. And Isaiah wrote this in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. What's next? The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When Christ comes again to set up his kingdom on this earth, it will be a kingdom ruled by righteousness and peace by the Prince of Peace himself, the Lord Jesus. So today, let us commit ourselves to peace. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace in him. And help, we need to work at keeping our minds stayed on the Lord, that peace can endure in our lives. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, 18, he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, he's writing to believers, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then you know the wonderful verses in Philippians chapter 4, which tells us, be careful, this is verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if you're struggling and worrying about anything at this present moment, what are you to do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And we're told as we make our requests and lay out our supplications before him with thanksgiving, he will give us his peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. It'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So keep your mind stayed on the Lord. And if you begin to drift, pray and ask the Lord to bring you back to that proper place. I'm going to conclude this morning with one more verse. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's obviously so much more we could say about peace coming out of the scriptures. And we, as we live in this world right now, and we don't see all of that peace, Jesus said you'll have tribulation, but we still need to live in this world. As Christians in Christ, we have his peace. We can keep our mind stayed on him to have perfect peace. And we can pray that the Lord would grant us peace in any of the difficulties that we may have. But here's a benediction that Paul gave to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here is the God of peace who wants to sanctify, that is to set us apart, make us different and unique, to sanctify us, make us holy, and do that completely, and that he would impact our very spirit, soul, and body. All three parts of our makeup. And that is a wonderful benediction, and we ask the Lord that he would do that in our lives for us and for a ministry that we can have to people all around us. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves and to be at to live peaceably with all men as much as we are able. And I trust that a focus on peace today might help us with whatever things are coming along for us this week ahead, that we would be sure to keep our minds stayed upon Jehovah. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word and how many places it tells us about the peace that you desire for all of us. It's in Christ. He has come to make peace between us and thyself, to reconcile us unto thyself. And we thank you that you are a God of peace who desires to sanctify us wholly. Part of that is to give the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, into our very lives and experience. And I pray, Lord, that we might, even in the maybe turmoil or difficulties that we have around us in our own lives, family, in our neighborhoods, that we might be able to secure that peace that only you can provide, that will help us in our soul, in our mind, and in our hearts. Bless your word this morning, we pray, and perhaps even, Lord, draw us a little bit further into other places in the scripture that speak about peace as a means of helping us and encouraging us to live in peace today. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, in you we have peace in our lives. And I pray that you would help us always to keep our minds fixed on thyself. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.